And you do have Tripping the Void, and we are live, and tonight is our special edition of Tripping the Void because we're going to celebrate Del's birthday. Del from The Delicious Recipe, also known as Laura Lee's other half. And so we've got Bigfoot and the Bunny with us, Chris Carr and Kristen Johnson with us, blessing us with their presence tonight.
Thank you.
As well as the Del himself, Delessi. And we've got all of this just for you because, you know, celebrating birthdays and being part of our para family is kind of a big deal for us. So we like to share with you guys as well and have our own fun conversations. So guys, say hi. And Laura Lee.
Oh, look at you.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, there's Delly. The Del, it was actually his birthday last night, but due to unforeseen circumstances, we couldn't celebrate. But you know what? I like in our house, I think the Del can agree, we like to celebrate birthdays for the whole week. So he's wearing a special hat. He's a half a century old, folks.
I like that hat, bro. That's
it's awesome. Thank you for having us, girls and Del.
What is on top of that hat? I have to ask you. What
are they, candles?
They're candles.
That's awesome.
I think they're candles.
My mind was completely in the gutter. I said, wow, you really are pushing the limits here, bro. They're candles, though. I got it.
Birthday.
Those are some very funny adult novelties, that is for sure.
Says good evening to everybody and says happy birthday.
Oh, love it. That's awesome.
So he's in the chat room.
I can really bend notes on this guitar.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So we said we were going to party tonight, but the Del actually had quite the show prepared for last night. And I sent you guys a little bit of a message beforehand, but he had some thought-provoking questions, basically. And I guess we can throw whatever else comes into the mix tonight. Like I say, we've got Zachman in the chat room right now joining us. So let's see who else joins us. Yes. And we were all talking, so I don't know if you heard him, the Del, but he said happy birthday.
Hey, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know, how do you want to do this? Sarah, shall we let the Del get right into his questions, or you want to talk about something?
Yeah, but just first. Why don't we go ahead and, since he's the birthday boy, we'll let him go ahead and fire with his questions and let everybody join in as we go. How's that sound, guys?
Are these questions pointed toward us?
Anybody.
truth or dare,
I'm just
Chris.
Joking. Truth or dare.
You might get it.
Spin the bottle. Let's play spin the bottle.
So what I'll have to do with this, though, too, is that I'm going to have Laura answer last because she's already heard some of these questions. So I don't want her to skew any of your responses there.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to start out with a fun question here for each of you. And you just go around. You want to go Chris, Kristen, Seraphine, then Laura. And whatever a minute or two, whatever your answer is, or 20 seconds or 5 seconds, or you don't know. But here's a really easy, fun question. This is going to find out about what your perception of reality is. Okay. So you're rowing down the street in a canoe, eating chocolate cake. You come to a fork in the road. Do you go left or right?
First,
you
go first, there, Chris.
I'm first.
What?
And if I'm eating chocolate cake, I'm not doing anything else. Okay, I'm just gonna eat my chocolate cake because I want to enjoy it, and I love chocolate cake. I love the texture. I love the flavor of chocolate cake. So I'm gonna have to say I'm gonna stay put, finish my chocolate cake, and then go with what my gut tells me.
Okay, Kristen. Bunny?
Yeah,
are you there?
She might have stepped out. Maybe Sarah should go.
Okay, Sarah.
I was going to say, I'm eating chocolate cake already in the canoe. Is that correct?
Yes, you're canoeing down the middle of the road eating chocolate cake. You come to a fork in the road. Do you go left or right?
I'm going to go left.
Okay.
I'll take a right.
You're going to go right? That was Kristen.
I'm sorry. Okay. I came back. Yeah.
No worries. Okay. Okay, I'm going to give Zach's answer next. He says, Zach, man, I'd be questioning if I'm awake or not because I hate riding on canoes and I hate chocolate. Interesting.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
you go. The flavor of the cake.
I like that answer.
You know, I love canoeing and cake. So
I am a fan of chocolate cake. I like that answer.
I am a huge fan of cake.
He's dreaming, and this isn't reality. So
no, yeah. He did ask me this question. It was about a week or two ago, but living with Adele and knowing how he thinks, this is what my answer basically was, that if there's a fork in the road, I'm trying to remember what I said, that basically, oh, God, now I got to think. I was trying to listen to your answers. So fork in the road with chocolate cake down the canoe. What did I say? First of all, I'd ask why I was canoeing down the road.
chocolate cake. I gave you mushrooms. They were special mushrooms.
You gave me special mushrooms. Okay, I actually forget what my answer was, but with a fork in the road, I don't know. I don't know if I'd even choose. Like, we don't even know. Did you say just a fork in the road, right? That's what you said?
Yeah.
Dal? Okay, yep. You didn't say that it was, the way I took it, I remember now, I said it doesn't necessarily mean it's a fork in the road left or right. It could have been that I found a fork floating on the river or anything like that. So if it was a fork floating on the river and I was eating with my fingers, I'd pick up the fork. Exactly. Otherwise, probably look for shore, get out, have a picnic, and sit on the rest of the road. I forget what the rest of my answer was, but basically I was trying to think outside the box. So what was the answer, Del?
There is no answer. There's nothing There's nothing right or wrong.
Do you remember my answer? Because I remember what I said to you, and it was thinking with like...
Well, I think you said there is that the fork in the road is that you would use that to eat your cake.
Oh, I was going to say...
No,
I got something for that. There is actually a literal fork in a road in one of the places that Chris and I go fishing. Mm-hmm. And you go down this kind of like back road. And I don't know, the residents actually put up this sort of statue. But it's made of wood.
It's really cool.
Where you kind of, if you go left, you go to the water. And you got the beach. And you got like the cliffs and stuff. And there's a fork in the road.
A like a fork huge.
It says nothing. It is no words.
What I said. I said, I'm literally thinking, though, he didn't necessarily, you know what, a fork in the road doesn't necessarily mean, if you're thinking outside the box, that it's an actual Y. And if he had said there was like a Y, you could take a left or a right, then you would definitely know that it's split. But a fork in the road could mean many things. That comes from living with him, thinking outside the box, right? Like, it could have been fork floating to eat your cake with. It could have been anything. So that's what my answer was. I didn't know.
That's the whole thing. It's just an exercise in seeing which way you sort of think, right?
Well, Sarah was
what you put into literal perceptions of words, right? And we have a big problem today in today's society where words have been changed, the meaning of the word has been changed, and what the perception of what it is, and certain groups have accepted certain words and adopted them and changed the meaning of words, right? So a fork in the road, or like a canoe in the middle of the road, like the road could be a river, right? There's a travel way that was used many years ago when they found North America, right? That the roadways were all the waterways, right? And then, but if you're thinking that it's just a road that you have a car on, then it's totally different, right? It's just how the perception of what meanings of things are. So
Sarah, Sarah was trying to say something, and we were waiting for you to finish.
What I was going to say is that's why I asked the question about the question. It's like, if I'm already in a canoe and I'm already eating chocolate cake and there's a fork in the road, I'm not going to pick a fork up off of the road and use it to eat cake with. If I'm already elbow deep in that cake, I'm not going to care about fork.
But say you were passing it, you had to eat it with your mouth. And that has become comments in the in here. It says, I'd be questioning, like he said, if I'm awake. Then he said, and why would I be riding a canoe on the road? And then he said, I'd be questioning that too.
Yeah, I question nothing. I just go for the ride.
Right. There's obviously some DMT ayahuasca involved in this. So.
Exactly. That's what I was going with. Chris's answer. You know,
why they call it tripping the void.
Long enough. I have. So he asked many a deep question.
I'm just going to ask the flying donkey over here. That,
yeah. Okay. Question number two. Question number two. This one deals with belief, trust, and the trust structure, okay? There's a couple. Their names are Bill and Hillary, and they own a restaurant. But 117-plus people that have had contact and dealings with them have mysteriously died. Do you still order from that restaurant?
It sounds like truth.
Is it a pizza restaurant?
It can be whatever restaurant you want it to be.
You know why I'm asking that, right?
Oh, Pedogate. Yeah, no, this pizza is a... Gate. This is a fancy restaurant.
I'm on to you there, Del.
This is a fancy restaurant that you can, if you eat there, you might get a special deal.
Nah, I'm good.
You're good? You're not ordering from that restaurant?
Not if 117 people died there. Okay. While eating food.
You're probably eating the people on the special, today's special.
I actually saw like a cool photograph today where it was like a coffin somebody had converted into like a grill and they had meat on it. You know, my car nice. Was like, what's cooking, you know? It just looks so weird. There's all this meat, like, oh my God, it's in a coffin.
Wait, you guys. Hang on, Zach Men wants to know. Okay, so Del, do you want to repeat the question for Zach? He didn't hear it properly.
Okay, I'll repeat. Okay, a couple named Bill and Hillary own a restaurant, but 117 people that have had contact and dealings with them have mysteriously died. Do you still order from the restaurant?
Let's see what he says. Well, Kristen answered. Chris, did you answer? Was that your answer about the coffin, or did you have an answer?
I don't know what my answer would be. I mean, it's an unusual question. I guess
I would question
whether it was word of mouth or if it was like, you know, they were actually like caught with doing these crimes in real time and then pretended it didn't happen. I don't know. Something like that, I suppose I would answer. Maybe not. Doesn't sound too tasty.
Sarah?
Do I get a free pair of shoes with my order?
Red shoes.
Yeah.
And some adrenochrome.
Ooh, I'm down. Let's go.
Okay, I get to answer. Absolutely not, because this is truth, I think. We just haven't found the restaurant yet.
No, that's a different way to look at
that's
it.
That's interesting.
Okay. Okay. This is a question that's sort of similar to this one, okay? And Lori, you have to answer last because I've already told you this one before. Okay. Okay. Celebrities have been known and been lots of pictures taken, and it's been through media of celebrities eating sushi off naked bodies. Okay. And there's also been lifelike looking cakes where certain celebrities have been cutting them up, and I think they call it soul cooking and soul eating. Okay. So. What part of the baby do you eat first?
Oh, my God. Kristen?
Do I have to answer this?
Chris, you go first.
All right, I'll go first. I'll eat the tissue that is the, what do you call it, the umbilical cord that falls off?
Crusty umbilical cord.
I may like gain some kind of superpowers from doing such a thing anyways.
Yeah, he might. You never know.
Before you answer, I want to give you guys Zach's answer to the last question. It was good. He says, forget it, eating at Bill and Hillary's restaurant. He said, I heard their head chef, Jeffrey Epstein, committed suicide in quotation marks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay, Kristen, your turn.
Well, I don't like sushi, and I don't know where this is going with the baby, but I definitely, if it was Christopher, I guess I'd eat whatever the other one was off of him. I don't know.
Okay. Sarah?
I think you know what my answer is.
I already do.
I'm going to go with Prince's answer, head, because that's what everybody wants.
Oh, my God. Okay, I am such a blonde. Oh, my God.
Okay, my answer today was absolutely not bleeping out the non-radio friendly word. Absolutely no blank in hell would I eat a baby in any way, shape, or form. Being a mother, working in the NICU, looking after little ones, and being a parent, absolutely not. I would starve. I'd eat my own arm before I'd eat a baby.
I agree.
But what if it was really tasty?
I'm glad we're not really.
No. Is that somebody's cupcake baby? For you. What if
That's
somebody
right.
ate your daughter?
See, the
nobody.
Baby,
I beg somebody to try.
Carrot.
Yeah, this
I
is
might
where
try carrot. A milk cord, though. I mean, that is kind of interesting, right?
Right.
It's
the answer is
you actually looked at
the answer is baby carrot, a vegetable.
Baby carrot.
Right? Because the whole part about it is that you're thinking human, but there's other things that are babies, right? Vegetables. So.
Oh, what a blonde I am, too, again with this.
I missed that.
I'm not good at this.
No way.
You're just literal. There's nothing wrong in being literal.
Oh.
Zach Mann says, I'd be wondering if I'd still have my soul if I'm in this deep with these celebrities. And he's talking, I guess, about eating these baby things. Mm-hmm. But it was the carrot, apparently. He didn't specify what kind of baby. A baby
that
carrot?
Is the trick.
Is this like a crock pot thing? Or
we're adding carrots.
I didn't get this Instapot recipe.
I know, right?
I don't have an Instapot. Yeah.
Okay, here's one that I just wrote up there today. I didn't was gonna do this last night, but this one's sort of gonna be, there's a little bit parts to this, and you'll have to think about this one a little bit, and I'll see if I can explain this better. Exactly. Okay. So if you had the opportunity to start over again in your timeline, but maintain all of your present knowledge, experience, and skills, would you and would you and what would you do different or the same, like a Groundhog Day, but say you're starting at 5 years old, but you're going back from, like, say for me, like back to 1970. Okay, so you're gonna have all your knowledge. Do you go into like a everything you know, like the timeline is going to stay the same, but you have all your knowledge now, but you're starting back at a very young age. Do you do a prepper lifestyle? Do you study? Do you learn new skills? Do you do more traveling? Do you become self-sufficient, move away from cities? How do you replay yourself in the timeline you lived with all the knowledge you have now, but starting back at, say, 5 years old?
And the memories, too?
Yeah, all memories, everything like that, too. You can do investing and stuff like that if you wanted to. You're not changing anything on the timeline, but you just have all the knowledge of your last 50 years of your life or 45 years of your life, and you can go and learn and change it. What would you change differently, and what would you sort of do?
Well, I think, you know, I would have, of course, do those investment things, and we all would. You know, that's a given. I would have been a better kid to my parents.
Yeah, me too. My dad.
You know, that's a regret. I'd have probably hung out with Kristen sooner.
Absolutely.
I like that answer.
Thank you. We're destined.
Aww.
Oh.
True.
It's very true. I would definitely start harping about the climate. I know people are going to start yelling on chat and stuff, but about the climate and the change and wars and everything. And definitely be with Chris. From the start.
I better say that.
No, from the start. And we'd end up with 5, 6, we'd have 7 kids together. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go. We'd have a clan. We'd form our own country. And screw you guys.
Well,
wow.
Okay. Do you think with your knowledge, nice. Though, that you would have became more sort of self-sufficient and maybe gone like prepper style and like gone away from markets and the GMO foods and lived a more sort of healthier lifestyle sort of thing like that?
Yes, and I would eat off of Teflon.
I don't know. I don't do it now. You know what I mean? I still got some old Teflon pans, and I try not to use them. But like Chris said, you know, I'd avoid those things. But it's nice, you know, we're inventing a perfect thing we would do, but I don't do it now. You know,
I would definitely be a prepper. Yeah. I want to do that as right now. I want to go outside and start digging a hole and stuff. But I would definitely be a prepper. Because people don't listen.
Well, that's why I would hang with Kristen.
So she could do it all.
She would be prepping.
Would you move away from where you are, like go down to some place like Fiji and stuff like that with all your investment money and set up shop down there?
I don't think so. We would definitely travel, but I think I would like to stay here.
How about you, Sarah?
Now, I'm trying to wrap my head around this question, Del. Can you please repeat it?
Okay. So all the information and knowledge you have right now and all your life experiences that you have, you maintain those, but you go back to and you start over again in your timeline back at 5 years old with all the stuff you've amassed to this time. So any information of everything. So you're going to start at 5 years old, starting into kindergarten, but you have all the knowledge of you high school and college and life experiences, but now you can make different choices, informed in choices. You find out that actually parents and adults are just as dumb as kids, so they don't know everything. That all that the stuff, the questions you're asking, why the people that are telling you stuff don't actually really have the answers, but you realize that now. And do you make informed decisions? Do you try new things? Do you go out and learn new skills to make your life better and change the direction? Or do you just keep following this?
Repeat exactly what you did growing up again in your memories. You have
to. See, I would say, because I know the law is that you can't go back. Even if somebody were to guarantee it, there's no guarantees that, like, as romantic as it is, that Chris and Kristen would end up together, even if they chose it, or that anything would be any different, because we really don't know what the truth would be of that, even if we made different choices, because as the stupid animals that we are, we don't know what drives our fortunes. Is it the gods, or is it fate, or do we have it's just no control at all, and there's no structure or anything else? How do you know you're not just going to walk into the same things over and over again? So I always say that I just need to still live my life with no regrets and keep continuing where I'm at. And if I have the choice, I want to be a cybernetic organism.
See, I was also thinking about even with Laura, if she knew everything that was going to happen, she wouldn't have walked out that front door and broke all the spinal parts in her back.
Right. But then again, how do you know that she wouldn't have had an accident somewhere else?
Somewhere else.
Yeah, like on your front porch.
Because my answer, if you ask me, first of all, I want to let you know, Howie, the hitman from Blog Talk, which is Howie O'Dell, he said, happy birthday, Del, already while you were talking. Now, at first, I thought that was really romantic for about a second. Yes, I would have loved to have had children with Del and my kids be his biological children. But I always, even as a spiritual teacher and mentor, tell people to embrace everything that you are, everything you've done, everything that whatever the good and the bad, because it's made you the person you are today. And with that being said, because I was thinking about this while you guys were talking, had I gone back earlier in life and met you, Del, which I would have loved, but would we still be together today? I think everything happens for a reason and everything happens in perfect order. So having the decisions that I have as a 5-year-old with all the memories and the knowledge if there were some mistakes I could avoid, yes. But having all that knowledge and understanding what I understand now, and if I was a child, I think I'd have a lot more fear and anxiety because I wouldn't want to change a lot because I'd still want my life to end up to where it is now. Do you know what I'm saying? And I kind of agree with Sarah that there's no guarantees that, like you said, yeah, when I walked out that door, when that patient had the hole in the rug and told me to, yeah, use the front door and ended up with my back the way it is. And Sarah's right. Could it have ended up that way in another situation? Could it ended up from a worse situation, a car accident, or even the fact that if I avoided it, I would have had a completely different life. I would have been a doctor. I probably wouldn't have been around to see my kids grow up. There's so many things. So no, I got to embrace everything and try and keep it pretty well dead on because I believe I still would have met you. You'd still have the life we're having. And I believe I met you when the timing was right to meet you. Because that's what I was thinking about while you guys were talking. I know I'm repeating myself, but aww. I thought I met you when I was in my 20s. Yeah, you and I probably wouldn't be together. So that's my thoughts. What's your thoughts on this, Del? You haven't been answering any of these questions.
Well, I already know my answer, so.
Well, let's hear your answer. We don't.
He's the Grand Inquisitor.
Well, thing is, though, is that I look at it this way, right? If I was able to go back in time and start off at 5 years old or even 4 or 3 or whatever, I think I would have done things. I would have continued to do things that I was doing back then and had more of an understanding. Like, I think at 4 years old, my mom started me playing violin, and I didn't know the understanding of the instrument or what it was. And then I did piano and I went up to like grade 5, grade 6 in piano, and I didn't understand the understanding of it. But I think I would have continued on with that. I think I still would have continued on with a lot of other things that went through there. Like my grandfather was a great boxer. He was a Northwest Ontario welterweight champion back in when he was in university. I did boxing, but then I listened to my mom and she says, well, I got braces. She goes, well, you can't box anymore because of your teeth. And there's certain things that parents and adults and teachers, oh, especially teachers, I have a very big dislike for teachers, even though my brother's a teacher, music teacher down in Toronto. But there's so much understanding that I would have figured out, even with religion, too, what I was told in church about this is the way the world is. I would have a more of an understanding of how things were. Like, I don't regret any mistakes and things that I did. I probably would have still followed those same routes, but I would have had a more of an understanding about what was going on. And probably would have continued doing other things there too as well. I don't think it would have changed much. I just, maybe, yeah, like Chris said, I probably would have invested in Microsoft and Amazon and stuff like that, right? And expanded my portfolio better. But all the jobs that I've done, like being a chef, skiing, coaching softball, playing softball, iron worker, building houses, prospector for mining claims, delivery guy for Central News, delivering magazines. That's where I got to find out that they hid the bunny on the front of Playboys. And that was a really interesting thing. I would probably go back and look at more issues. But I think I would just have a better awareness than back then than what I had. Because I started asking questions a long time ago, back when I was grade 3. Grade 3, I went to 3 different grade 3s in 2 different parts of Ontario. See, I was born in Thunder Bay, and then before I was 1, moved down to Toronto area because my dad got a job for Ontario Hydro. Then my mom went down there, and then my brothers are both born in Mississauga. So grade 3, I'm in school. The teacher had one of the first calculators that came out, and it was about like this size, huge thing, and it had like 7 digits, and all it was add, subtract, multiply, divide, and I think it cost like about $100, and that was like one of the new parts of technology moving through, and seeing how things have sort of progressed. And but the part is that I understood this that in school, what we were learning down in Mississauga was at a certain level. I came up here, moved in to our grandmother's house before we got our other house. So I went to another school, Drew Street School, that's closed now. And what they were teaching the students there was what I learned in grade two. And it was really weird. But see, education is supposed to be uniform across the province, across the country. And I was like, okay, this is really weird. Like, why am I learning stuff that I learned last year? And then when we got, my parents bought the house and I went over to Redwood School. That's another school that's closed now. And they were at the point where I had just left. And so basically my school year was, it was really weird, but I noticed that's where I started getting, I started realizing that things aren't uniform across the board in education. And just,
so you've always asked questions.
Things are not the same all over. And that's when I started questioning things. And that's when I started looking at things differently. And that was back at, like, I guess it was like 8 or 9 years old then. And then I noticed that all the way through school, how certain things were, subjects were pushed as being more important than other ones. And I'm seeing now is like, actually the things that people should have been learning in school through all the way through is learning about finances, learning about how the government actually works, learning about cooking, cleaning, gardening, making crafts, doing stuff that can make you self-sufficient, that you don't have to rely on big box stores, rely on just government. Like how things have happened now, government is acting like a parent, and they're acting like a helicopter parent, and they are dictating how everybody should be, even though everybody's different. It even comes in with this part with this COVID-19 stuff. Like I said, okay, we're going to create a vaccine for everybody. Everybody's immune system is different. So you're making a blanket statement that everybody has to take this to progress. The society can't go on unless everybody takes this one shot. So there's lots of different things and just understanding about what's going on. So I think just little things that I would have understood through my timeline from 5 years old up to now being 50, I would have made a little bit more informed decisions and probably read a lot more. And
that makes a lot of sense. Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off, Del, but we got some comments in the chat room too, and I want them to feel part of it. They're here to help you celebrate your birthday. So Howie the Hitman says he was saying she is right. I think he was talking about Seraphine. He said, based on quantum, you may end up in another plane or cause a flux in the time continuum. Of course, that pertains to quantum. I think he's talking about quantum physics. And then he said time flux again. He said, speaking hypothetically, if I could, he said, just a few directions in corrections he would only make if you were asking him.
Well, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Like there is no right or wrong answers to any of this stuff here. It's just
right.
It's a sort of an experiment on what you're sort of thinking about and how you would do it. Like there's no prizes to win at the end of these. So
what? There's no prizes. Del, what
prize?
I was promised spaghetti.
Oh,
instead of in Florida, you do both. Well, you'd be living with two women. You'd kind of be like Three's Company for those of us that are from that time era.
There you go. I have to pretend like I'm gay like John Ritter?
No.
No.
Unless Sarah wants you to.
No, but you'll be making spaghetti.
I make good sauces and soups.
He does, actually.
That bread looked amazing the other day.
Yeah.
My bread maker.
There you go. She's gonna take some of the claim.
No, he's a better cook with a lot of things than I am. He really is. So, which means he should cook all the time. Right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't stop him.
Yeah, I know. What's the next question?
Okay, here we go. And this one sort of goes along with this part. It's not the same as going back in time, but it's sort of a thing about here. Okay, I've had the opportunity to travel quite a bit throughout North America for sports, concerts, works, all places. Like, I've traveled pretty much across Canada, basically from Montreal all the way out to Vancouver. And then through the States, I've done all the way through Washington, all the way over to New York, and then down to Key West, Florida, different sports concerts and stuff like that. So how much have you traveled in your lifetime, and where? And where is your favorite place and why?
Who's going first?
I'll go.
It's
I'll
Chris go. And Kristen.
I was absent for a few. I've traveled not as much as I would like, man. I would love to travel so much more. You know, I think it's important. I think it's good for the soul. I've actually heard people, and I'll go on a little paranormal subject, say that the soul can only go where it knows in life. And I don't know if that's true, but it's good for the ghost,
like
if you will.
I like
you know,
that.
To have traveled, to have seen other places so it knows where to go. I haven't been enough places, you know. I love the Caribbean. I've been to Tijuana. I get a pass on Tijuana, to be honest with you. I didn't get the donkey thing. It just wasn't really happening.
My God.
Yeah. Did you eat barbecued iguana listening to Mexican radio, though?
You know what, though? Yeah, well, it's almost. Well, I wasn't drunk enough to do that, believe it or not. It's like, I believe it or not. I know, considering myself. But there was a guy with a stand, and I swear to God, this is true. He had meat on a stick for sale, and he had, like, I don't know, 50 sticks of meat, like, on this little cart kind of thing, right? Mystery meat.
Yeah.
Bathed in some kind of sauce, some kind of, like, barbecue or whatever it was.
It was a hamster.
Right, chimchilla.
It was
baby.
All rotted.
Baby
you
sauce.
You could smell it. Like, if you were not drunk enough, you could smell it 50 feet away. The smell of, like, corpse of rotted meat of that smell. And as it got, you
good
walk
God.
The stand. And, you know, Tijuana is interesting because you go up a flight of stairs when you get to the border. And you
That's
have to come down that flight of stairs. And then you go in. And then you go over this little bridge, and it's a bridge, and there's a river underneath it, and it is literally sewage, and it smells like shit, sewage. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's wonderful. It's like, welcome to Tijuana. This is awesome.
Take the stairs into hell.
And then there's all the vendors. There's all these guys trying to give you rides and this kind of stuff, and, you know, trying to, you know, sell you something. And there was this cart, and we were walking, me and my buddy. This is like 20 years ago, man. And we're walking toward the cart, and it could just smell rotted meat, rotted flesh. And he was selling something. I mean, it could have been squirrels. I don't know what he had on his sticks. But it was a guy. I mean, it was a dude, and it's kind of a military-looking dude. And nothing against military people, but it was a big dude, very tall. And he's got, like, three of these things in his hand. And he's just, drunk off his ass. And I don't want to be that guy.
No, he probably didn't have a fun morning or 2 hours after.
Yeah.
Montezuma's revenge.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And that's a true story. But I wish I had traveled more. There are lots of places I'd love to go. I would love to see the pyramids. I would love to see
Chichen Itza.
I don't know. Chichen Itza. You know,
yeah,
for
chicken
instance.
Pizza.
That's chicken pizza. It's an easy
chicken
one.
Pizza.
Right?
Yeah.
Make it more affordable.
But you can't walk on it now, they say. They can't walk on chicken pizza anymore.
Yeah, I was down in Cancun and right by Chichen Itza, and the day that we were supposed to go on the tour, the bus broke down, so I missed going there for the days I was there. I was really disappointed about that, but
I would have been too.
You know what?
You and Kristen should go to Belize.
We'll be here all night here.
I want to go to Belize really bad too.
And the thing is, too, Sarah, is you've traveled all over. You've got some interesting travel stories. But my thing is, I wish they'd make travel more affordable for people. I really do. Like,
well, the U.S. has really cheap flights. And Canada
right
really, really
North America,
I said, but yeah, Canada especially is expensive. We've got, just so you guys know, after we answer the question, we've got some interesting answers in the chat room too, so I don't want you guys to think we forgot you, so go on. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in there. Kristen, you're next.
Okay, well, my uncle was in the Air Force, and I think Del will appreciate this. I have been to White Sands, New Mexico. They lived in Alamogordo at the time, on the base and stuff, the housing. I've been like down and around. My mom lives in Florida. The only place I've been that's been out of the country is Niagara Falls, Canada.
Ooh.
I have been there. Other than that, I would love to go to Angkor Wat in Cambodia. As we all know, who know me, Göbekli Tepe in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, all the pyramids and stuff in Mexico, Belize and Peru and all down in South America. Not coming back with Montezuma's Revenge or anything, just maybe.
Egypt, we'd love to go to Egypt.
Oh, yes, Egypt as well. But yeah, that's about it. I just like Texas.
Great Pyramid and... is such a mystery, really.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that'd be great.
That's me. Mm-hmm. Kristen, I think Seraphine, you had asked if we had traveled together yet. And that is, no, we were supposed to this year, but thanks to the COVID, we cannot.
So where's your favorite place?
My favorite place?
That you've gone to that's Chris's not house. Your house.
Christmas house, I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Jealous no. house. No, but, you know, we've been to some haunted places, certainly, that are pretty
my
interesting.
My favorite is New Mexico.
You know.
Interesting.
Yeah, New Mexico. We haven't been
New Mexico
to
is
yet.
My favorite.
I would love to go to New Mexico.
The White
You'll
Sand.
Be able to go there soon because I'll be moving there.
Really?
Yeah.
What part?
Well,
I don't know if you want to tell me now.
Well, truth or consequences area.
What's your address?
Right? Right? What's your phone number?
Just put this online right now.
After our interview we just had, I don't think you really necessarily want to do that. Serial killers inside.
Yeah, no, but that's awesome.
I would
yeah,
avoid.
How do you know that I'm not a serial killer, Chris?
You're not.
We don't know.
I know you're not. Okay, Sarah, tell people where you
Rosebud.
Well, Rosebud. Yeah,
I know, right?
Okay, Rosebud, tell everybody where you've traveled because you've been all over the super interesting places.
Well, I've been all over the United States, except for very few states that I have not been to. Rhode Island is one of those states, which I have this really weird obsession with Rhode Island. And
wow.
I don't know why. I'm just really super obsessed with it. I know a whole hell of a lot about it, but I've been by it, but I've never been inside it.
Oh, my God. That's
so weird.
A little state in the union.
Yeah, you need to come stay with me. I live like
Not
even 15 minutes away.
I'm totally planning on, you know, hitting you guys up and, you know,
awesome.
We need to go do some stuff all together.
We will
all
hook
of us need
up.
To get to, we need to get together.
Yeah, we
and do.
Stuff.
But
you guys need passports.
I have passports. But
talking to Lurley and
oh, we have passports.
Del.
We
have you guys have passports?
Weird.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We are rocking this.
So
yeah, well, we used to go down to Wisconsin all the time.
But we'll nice. Talk. Let's see her finish. She's got tons of
road
tons
trip.
Tons of travel picks.
Let's just say, due to my affiliations, both political and social, I've been all over the Europe, the continent of Europe, east and west. I've been to China. I've been to parts of the USSR and Eastern Europe. I have been to Japan 3 times. I have,
Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi do, yes.
Wow.
But I haven't been there since the Burj Khalifa has been there. My last trip there was in 96. So I got out before it got really hairy, before they started abducting people. But I've been
interesting stories from living over in the UK and France, I'll tell you.
Yes, and the investigations that I've done and all the people that I've met and the stuff that's happened, or
the baby in the jar.
Oh gosh, yes.
And the pantry.
You want me to tell that real quick?
Yeah, we've told it on our show before. Yeah, tell that one. It's creepy.
Yeah, you know, when you're staying in a place, and the place that I was staying in southern France is it's called Ricoubeau, and you can actually Google where I stayed because it's a 14th century convent that has been refitted so that it's homes for people. So they rent out a couple of the floors, and then there's the owners who have most of the convent, and then people who rent. And so when I was living there, you took turns making meals for everybody who was living on our side. So we had this big grand table and this giant kitchen and everything and this walk-in pantry. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? And so you know how when you walk into a pantry, you're just kind of looking around and you're moving stuff. And it's like, well, I have this and that. And you're not expecting anything to really be in the pantry other than foodstuffs, right? Mm-hmm. 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 So I go to the top shelf because I'm tall, obviously. And I move something because I'm like, maybe there's something up here that I'm not seeing or whatever, because I'm an American. I want to, you know, show them my American cooking prowess. And I move this jar and take the jar down. I'm like, what is this? And there was a fetus in a jar.
Oh, my God.
My daughter, who was three years old at the time.
Wow.
I'm like standing there shocked. I mean, Lurley and Kristen can go as moms, look at that in their hand and go, oh my God, baby, why are you here?
Right.
You know, because that's what you're doing. It's somebody's child in a jar. And then when I was like gray, apparently, when I walked out of the pantry with this jar, and Anik, who is the owner of this place, it's the Waston family of D, owns the convent. And they're like, oh no, that's okay. And it's my baby. And I'm like, it's your baby, but the baby is in the pantry with the food.
Oh my
and
God.
She goes into this big grandiose story about the baby and how they, you know, and shows me pictures of when she was pregnant and when she gave birth to it in the bathtub where I hang clothes.
Oh my gosh.
And can you imagine the shock?
No, yeah. I would be horrified.
I'm like standing there going, oh crap.
And I've seen
what is happening.
I've seen many a dead baby, most unfortunately, but that still does not. Yeah. The horror of finding something like that in somebody's pantry. And yeah. I guess it just goes to show you, though, right? Different cultures.
Different cultures.
It's normal for them. Yeah,
like it was no big deal. Like, wow. Oh, you're just being overly dramatic that to find a deceased child in a jar just kind of hanging out among the canned peaches.
The spices.
Right.
It's like, yeah, okay. But yes, but, you know, I'm a firm believer in that you do, like Chris said, you do need to get out of where you're at, and you do need to experience other cultures. And, you know, I've been to Mexico. I've been to Belize. That's why I think you guys would really enjoy Belize. It's really inexpensive, and you can do a lot for and see a lot. I went to go see the Temple of the Jaguar, which when I went, I had to go diving because it was during the rainy season, which I wasn't counting on. I thought I was going to miss it by a couple of weeks, but it started raining early. Mm-hmm. But the water in the lagoons are like this beautiful blue emerald green. It's really gorgeous and it's just awesome. But I've seen so many things that I couldn't. I mean, if I waited for somebody to tell me that I have the money to go or to save up, like the first time that I went to England, I had $25 in my bank account.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. I couch surfed until I found a flat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
how many of your acquaintances, friends and stuff like that, you know, that have never left the city that they've been born in?
Oh, God.
Bad, almost everybody that I know. Mm-hmm. Almost.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But they have but they all have opinions of the world.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that irritates me.
Well, very much.
We talk about this lots on this show, don't we, Sarah? Because,
oh, yeah.
You know, and I haven't traveled as much as you have, but what I find is people just forget how important, especially even living in North America, how important culture is to be able to understand other people. I think I saw Chris frozen there. I don't know if he's still frozen. but you know what? And people forget that. And, you know, I always say behavior doesn't happen out of the blue. It happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. Everybody does something for a reason. It may not be apparent to the rest of us, but people just don't usually do something for no reason. They have a reason. Right. And things have to do with culture. And there's a very extreme answer that Sarah shared with us that over there probably is not that extreme in any way, shape, or form. But for us over here, it is. And for traveling, I haven't even been to lots of places in Canada I'd love to go to. I'd love to go out to the East Coast. I haven't been out there. I haven't even been out to British Columbia or, say, Calgary or anywhere there. United States, I've been to Colorado. I haven't even been to New York. I've been to a lot of Southern Ontario, a lot of Winnipeg, Manitoba, which are, you know, fairly close distances, and obviously Florida a million times, and the Caribbean. But the places where I would love to go would probably be, I want to go to Australia one day. I want to go, for some reason, I've always wanted to go to Greece. It looks so beautiful there. The weather, like the water and the weather.
The Maldives. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to go. I wouldn't even mind going to Thailand, certain places, or Fiji, you know, the UK, especially places like Ireland or Scotland, where they've got all that beautiful green. Mm. Now, you ask my favorite place. I have two favorite trips. One of them was I went with my best friend, Erica, who hides this from her child. I don't know why, but her kids are grown up now. I was quite the character in my young days, and I made us up t-shirts. We lived together. We had bright fuchsia pink t-shirts, and everybody used to know us in our city. There's only about 100,000 people and very few bars to go to, and we were single. So they called us the Trouble Twins. We weren't bad people. We just had like to have fun. So I made us up shirts that said Trouble Twin number one, Trouble Twin number two. In our car, we traveled in our little Nissan Sentra and had signs on that. This is before cell phones, that said Trouble Twins Travel Tour. I forget what the year was. And let me tell you, it's too long to tell you, but let's just say we went on a drug bust with the RCMP that we met, because in Quebec, we stayed in Ottawa. You go over the bridge and you're in Quebec and you're in Hull and the whole street is bars. So that's quite a story we had. That was probably
Quebec's another country entirely.
It is. But we met these cops that said they were RCMP officers, and we thought they were lying. And I always said, don't give me rye, especially when I was single, because I became between God and a rock star. So I told them we were doctors. And my friend didn't speak French, but I do. So needless to say, yes, we did end up going on a drug bust with them. We did not go in. We
waited. Oh, my God.
Yes. So that was one of my favorite trips. But
an adventure.
The other ones have to be with Del at Rockfest. We had best time with Marty. Saw so many incredible bands, had the best spot. It was really awesome. So I'll read the comments in the chat room.
Who's the best band you ever saw? If you don't mind me asking.
Who's
your favorite band? Favorite. Maybe not best. Let's go favorite band you ever saw.
Who surprised me that I didn't expect to be really good was Kid Rock. I could not believe how talented
he
is.
Awesome. I saw him.
It's a really good live show.
Yeah.
I got to see bands off my bucket list. Like I got to see I got to see Aerosmith. The night that Iron Maiden was there was over 30,000 people. Every pretty well amazing main rock band you can think of has been at Rockfest. I found some really newer bands that are now my favorites, like Sick Puppies from Australia, amazing. Hailstorm, amazing.
Oh, yeah. Hailstorm is going to go with Godsmack, yeah.
Yeah, we're supposed to
Godsmack.
The frigging COVID, fuck, excuse me, screwed that up. And we're supposed to see them last month. Yeah.
So yeah, there was good things. So I'd have to say those were my favorite trips. So great. I do want to read the comment in the chat room, and then let's hear what Del's. We also have plans, not so much for travel, but Del's family has a cottage or camp out on the most beautiful lake. So him and I have talked about many, many, many things we'd love to do. We ever won the lottery even out there rather than travel. So Zach Mann says, surprisingly, one former celebrity who lives in a self-sufficient lifestyle now is Owen Benjamin. Minus the alt-right rhetoric, he might get a larger following. And then he said, I've never left the U.S., but one of my favorite vacation spots is Miami because I can smoke my cigars anywhere and nobody gives me nasty looks. He said specifically in Little Havana. So there you go.
Wow, eh?
Cool.
Okay, Kelly, favorite trip. You've been everywhere.
Yeah, well, I traveled a lot through the States, but it was sort of like central to east through the States down to like Key West and back. Like I did, I've been down to Minneapolis many times, Chicago, Milwaukee, Atlanta.
Quite the picture.
Miami, Tampa Bay, Key West, through the Georgias, then Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Boston, New Jersey, New York, Atlantic City was a nice place to go there for a night. That was wicked. Montreal and Quebec, Quebec City, Ottawa, Toronto. And then I went everywhere out through all through the west of Canada. Like I was I prospected up in northern Saskatchewan and northern Manitoba, Flin Flon, Manitoba.
Wow.
Grand Prairie, Creighton, Saskatchewan. I worked up in the oil sands north of Edmonton. I was out there, and then my family, we traveled out to Vancouver, and then like we came back through Spokane, Washington, and through all the Red Hills and stuff like that. But one place that I remember very clearly was back a long time ago, a family trip, we went down to St. Lucia in the West Indies. And while we were down there, I think I was like in grade 5 or 6 or something like that. My mom took us to see what school was there. So we went to a Canadian funded prep school, and everybody was wearing these white uniforms with red hats and stuff like that. And it was very, it was Canadian funded, and, be looking around there, and it was not like a regular school that you have here in North America, but like a really open air. And but they had a lot of amenities and a lot of new books and stuff like that. Then my mom, right after that, we went to the regular school, and it was like a tin shed. Like it was like broken desks. There was like old books, people sharing books. And it really gave you sort of an eye-opening part about how perception of places are, because even when we left St. Lucia from the hotel, we were staying at the Royal St. Lucian, and security in the hotel says, okay, well, if you want to go somewhere, you go in our vehicle and we'll take you to where it is. So they bypass what the rest of the island is doing, how the rest of the island lives. So my mom took us out for a walk. We rented bicycles, and we actually went through like shanty town and saw how people are actually living. And it really was an eye-opening experience back at that young age. And I did the same thing when I went to Cuba too as well. And I basically had a different trip from my family. Like I was there from December 17th to December 31st. I got back just before New Year's, and I looked darker than Toby's bottom, and partied back here in the middle of winter in minus 30. But down there, like I went out because drinking age is 18. I was 18. I lived a totally different life from the rest of my parents for 2 weeks. And I just went out and explored stuff. I learned how to scuba dive, rented mopeds for $1 a day. With unlimited gas. Like this is just crazy, like different stuff. And then you also go at the wonder is that why does stuff cost so much back here when it's so cheap down there? This whole inflation nonsense and this way money and capitalism works here in North America. like, this is part of another question I was going to ask you guys there. And I actually, this will go and lead into it here, too. I said, okay, has technology made life better? And what parts better or worse? Like, now they're even saying you don't really need school for most subjects because of the WWW. And then who controls that information? So understanding the system and gaining knowledge becomes something else than English, math, and science. And you're finding out now with this the pandemic is that kids can learn at school on their computer. So are schools going to be phased out?
I don't think schools are going to be phased out. I don't know, but my son cannot
wait to
go back to school. So I don't think so.
I suspect, though, social distancing will become more of a thing. Not, you know, once we get past the COVID, like when flu season comes around, people will socially distance. They're now enlightened to, you know, not cough on each other.
Our world has changed right in front of our face. And I think everybody's going to keep, well, mostly everybody, hopefully,
you know,
will keep practicing that.
It has.
You know, more people have died. More people have died with the flu in the past years than they have worldwide with this COVID-19.
Yeah, and that's definitely true. But at the same time, we've got people trying to make it sound like it's this big, scary monster. So either, like I said, and I'm sticking to this, that either A, there's something that they're not telling us, or B, this is all leading up to something that we all knew was coming. It's just that it's getting there a little faster than we would care to.
We weren't prepared for it.
And you know what? We're all going to go through it. It is kind of eventual. I think that is true. But I also think we have to be cautious as to not overwhelm our healthcare system.
Yes. Yeah.
No, this thing is a weapon. It's no way that this just comes out of nature. I doubt it.
It doesn't.
I really doubt it. There was a study that came out last week that said that the thing hangs in the air for up to 17 minutes. Hangs in the air. So do you think really being 6 feet apart works?
I don't really think so.
No. No, it's probably not going to.
How does something hang in the air? You tell me that besides a balloon on a string.
It's
defying gravity with its
a cell.
Whatever.
It just hangs in the air.
It's an atom.
I will send you that, Del, aside of the show. I will send you what it was. It was definitely researched. It was done in perfect conditions with no wind, nothing. No, this is science, bro. The thing hangs in the air.
Dude.
You know.
Dude.
Now, I do have to interject something, though. According to the question that Del did ask, what I was going to say with the school question is because they want everybody to be good little sheeple and doc stop. That with good little sheeple, so they're not going to annex schools. They're going to want people to send their children to school to learn how to be a good consumer and a good sheep. That's the only way, because if you're with your parents learning from a teacher on a computer, you're not as controllable as you are in real time.
Well, that is a brilliant
point.
I
agree with that.
But if they control now that because they're going on and getting rid of money, that's the way that the part is going there, is that if you do not go and regurgitate what you're learning on your computer, you might not get internet time that allows you to do other things. There's a whole bunch of controls that are coming into effect. Just look what in Canada, they had that little mass shooting that happened. The Maritime, a guy that intended to be an RCMP officer that disguised his car as an RCMP car and shot, I think it was like 17 people.
Did you know there was a shooting in Minnesota
secret,
today?
Vote did an executive order and has put a moratorium on. In 2 years, he put 2,000 guns, I think it's 202,000 guns that have to be removed and turned into the government in 2 years. And that was just passed. There was no vote on it. There was no discussion. He just passed it through.
Well, this is the other thing, Del, and is that one of the ways that they can pass things without too many votes from the people themselves is that when we are in any kind of crisis, the House rules. That's how they are getting away with a whole lot of things. Mm. Now, if the American people knew their basic understanding of how our voting system actually works, they would actually stand up and say, hey, don't try to control how we vote, which, come on, if we're all grown-ups here.
Well, it's House Senate. Uh-oh. Let's be clear about that.
Well, you know,
well,
what
this
I mean.
Is this is in Canada, though, that they just did this.
Right. But you're right. Everything you're that right, we sir. Do affects you guys eventually.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you're that much Americanized, but everything. I mean, crap rolls uphill and downhill, depending on how you slice the crap. And your premier acts and reacts to what our president does.
You mean our prime minister?
Yes.
Yeah,
Putin.
Well, that's...
Oh, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
You mean Justin Castro?
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, and distractions do seem to pop up in the news, right, Seraphine? Like, distractions
yes.
have been popping up in the news for a while now. Let's uh-huh. just say that. I don't want to segregate. I don't want to go
no.
get political. But people, are drawn to distractions. Mm-hmm. Shiny things, you know. Oh, there's a shiny thing.
Oh my gosh, let me, right this is something that I can be mad about, madder right. than COVID.
He paid a hooker? Wait. You know, that guy got hurt. Why did
he wrote a check to a hooker? What?
Yeah, right. And it's like crazy stuff. And it keeps going and going and going.
Right.
And it distracts us from the actual facts.
Yes, that's true. On. Very true.
Right.
And, yeah, well, that, passed, this...
and they get passed in big bills. Those mm-hmm. bills are never just like, oh, okay, we're going to give people $1,200 and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. It's actually like a whole, like 18,000 pages of things that get pushed through, right? Because mm-hmm. everybody's getting their payback for their donations to political parties, which right. sucks. And that goes on both sides of the aisle.
Well, this goes into the second part of the question. So we never really answered the first part. Has technology made life better, and what parts better or worse? But the next part was, government is supposed to assist life and better it, not be a parent and oppress the population. How can things change and get back on a proper path of progression? So that was the two parts that were into this.
Okay. Well, the last question, they should fire everybody and start revamping different laws and stuff, like electoral colleges and stuff. And yeah, I think that the internet has made everything a lot, not everything, almost everything a lot better in some ways. But I was just having this discussion with my son this morning, my 12-year-old. But in other ways, it's not, because not just the internet, but like technology itself. Chris and I just read something about a robot that they're literally, it feeds on flesh. Right, Chris?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's in things that can repair themselves instead. I mean, of like having or another robot going over and repairing it. It's, yeah, it's really freaky. And I think we're going to like Terminator level at this point. So in some ways, yes, with like social, you know, media and stuff. Okay, yeah, I get that, and the internet and things. But I'm going with science. It's just like really creeping me out right now. It's really bad.
Well, if you're gonna... that's that whole, this whole part of this technocrats, the technocracy, right?
Right.
Part about bringing that in. And this has been a big topic of what these oligarchs have been sort of pushing through to drive technology and make people technology not deficient, but technology dependent.
Right.
And,
Elon, that's
a big, huge thing that's different. This is a part that goes into the very first question or second question I asked her tonight. It's like, and even the other one there is that as technology made things better. I think a lot of things that have happened back in the 70s, like thinking back there, if you had the knowledge you had now back then, would you want to follow that path and make things better for yourself where you weren't so dependent on Monsanto type food GMO, dependent on your internet? Like, well, we wouldn't be able to do this show unless we had stuff like this.
Right.
But like libraries, I don't even think even exist anymore. Like, you just have a library right on your phone. But then who is controlling that information that is on there that you're getting?
Right.
Do you trust it 100% or not? There's so many different aspects to this, is that there's an ease of use. And I think a lot of millennials and Y2K kids and stuff like that, they just believe what they see on the internet from what site or whatever peer group they're looking to. And they don't do research and double check and cross check things. Like, that's what I do every day, is I'm looking at about 50 different things on the same topic and seeing what these 50 different people are saying, right? And then I form my own opinion from it.
Exactly.
They're not all saying the same thing. But a lot of people, a lot of youth, and even people my age, stuff like that, they just listen to one thing, and their one thing could be CNN, and that's it. And they believe everything
or
that's
Fox.
On there.
Or
you
Fox.
Know what? You're 50, so welcome to the club, brother, number one. Number two, you know, kids are on a whole different spectrum than we are. There's a meme thing that I barely understand, man. And I got a 13-year-old. I'm like, you know, this is whole idea of meme culture that is very important to him and his friends that I don't even get. You know, as far as news goes, they are very turned off to it. You know, all we've done in the last couple of years is divide ourselves. And I, you know, I don't want to get like political and blame people. And you know, that's a nasty thing. But the truth is, we really are more divided than we've ever been. And that sucks, especially during a crisis. Like, we should be united. And we're not. We're not. After 9/11, you're old enough to remember this because you're my age. Yeah. We were united. We were political parties didn't matter, and that stuff didn't matter. But right now it matters, right? Why does it matter? Who is in control of that? And that is the conspiracy. That's the thing you should look into, because that's bullshit, man. And, you know, we should be like all fighting this, not being like, oh, mask, no mask. This is crazy. We don't want to spread a disease. Who wants to spread a disease? It's common sense, but it's become a political issue. And I don't even understand that.
From the start.
Yeah. I'm so lost on some people's thoughts. I go, what are you thinking, man? I know it doesn't kill everybody. We all know that. But it could kill your parents. It could kill a lot of people. It has killed people that, you know, had
pre-existing
conditions, or maybe even didn't. And why wouldn't you try to prevent that? And what is the economy if the whole globe
dies,
economy
right.
closes down?
So here's a good one. Well, you know, about the it does. I agree with you, Chris. But with the whole going back to the technology and stuff, I mean, if this thing is a bioweapon, which that's all I'm gonna say, I would. And going back to my childhood, I would definitely make sure that no one could do something like that. But I don't know how I would do that. I don't know.
So you'd become a ninja.
Like Seraphine, she's the ninja.
You'd both be ninjas and there'd be a ninja army.
She can be the white ninja and I'll be the black ninja.
Ninja.
And then Laura Lee's the pink ninja.
Laura Lee's the red one.
No, I'm the purple one.
Oh, fine. Now we sound like the Power
Ranger.
I'm gonna
agree
on Power Ranger.
Powerpuff. Power Ranger.
It's true. Like, we wouldn't have these problems, and I think we should be more united. And I don't think political parties matter right now. I think we should just be worried about the health of the
right. But what are we going to do about technology?
Technology? Well, that's interesting. AI is growing.
I was just telling them about the flesh-eating robot.
robot.
Okay, well, I got an interesting thing. Did you guys know what's coming with the new COVID vaccine? I know the Dell does, but I shared it with Sarah that it's not actually going to be a needle. And all the secret stuff that's been going on with the testing, that over in Africa, what they were doing was they were first trying to deal with health education about fertility and birth control. When they saw that wasn't working, this comes from Mr. Gates himself, they were hiding anti-beta HCG in vaccines for like tetanus and polio. And what that did was, obviously anybody that's been pregnant, that's what your pregnancy test tests for, is used to create human chorionic gonadotropin, is called, or HCG, right? Mm-hmm. So when they were making, they were lacing these vaccines with anti-HCG. So what would happen is the human body develops antibodies towards a hormone. You can't maintain a pregnancy. You can get pregnant, you'll miscarry nonstop because the body basically attacks.
This goes back to Gates's eugenics program.
Eugenics, right there.
Not done. Then when they got caught, okay, so they pulled that out. But now what they're doing with India, okay, we were all thinking we were getting a chip. That's not coming. What it is you won't get a needle on the use India as the first test thing again with Gates. It looks like a micro needle. You can actually get beauty products with this. I've seen these like at Winners and all over. It's like a micro needle facial, it's called, but it's not needles. It's basically a sugar polymer, and you press it into the skin. It makes micro indentations. It delivers the vaccine or whatever it is, but it also delivers a certain type of polymer. I think it's like a radioactive dye. And please, Del, correct me if I'm wrong from what I was watching or reading. And they can scan this. It's got all your information, your name, your phone number, your picture, your health records, your postal code, where you live, everything. And then they actually just recently showed that in India, being the first test subject of having this micro needle type of delivery system, which is scannable by a special app on your cell phone to tell who's been tattooed or who's been vaccinated and who hasn't for certain things. You can't see it, but you can go online, and for 50 rupees, which is about $7, you can buy everybody's personal information, everything that's on there. So what they're looking at for the coronavirus is they'll hand you a little patch, you'll snap it on your hand, roll it in there, hour later, whatever, roll it off. You don't see anything, but God knows what they've hidden in it, first of all. Second of all, it's going to have that kind of traceable, if you will, tattoo to be able to prove that you've been vaccinated, or other thing if you're immune. Did I get that all right, Dal? Did I miss anything?
Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah. The only thing is that when they go in, they give you the stamp, it's going to have like one of those stupid scan code things on it.
The barcode.
It'll be there, and it'll be marked.
You can't see it, Dal. They're saying you can't see it.
No, it's going to be marked along and put in with your social insurance number or your so that it'll be tagged. It's individualized. So everything will be all individualized. So it doesn't matter what, like a sticker on your hand or your arm that's there for a little bit that you don't see, and it'll be invisible.
Yeah.
But the icing will be in there, and every sticker has a different part of an isotope. It's all very different, but that'd be linked to your birth certificate or your passport. And so that
probably your medical records and everything.
Well, it's just so they can pull you up.
Yeah, don't sign me up for that.
Yeah, but Kristen, it's hackable. They just proved India was a big test area.
Right.
With the amount of people over there. It is hackable. They weren't the only places. One place that was broken open.
This is ridiculous.
There were over 207 places online you could go for $7. And you've got every personal ID information, everything you want, including where the person lives in their picture. And they're
horrible.
You're directly connecting that to Bill Gates. Which I find is a very interesting conspiracy theory.
I am telling you, you can watch him. He was interviewed on Indian TV about it. He skirted right over the issue. His company is behind it. They're also behind Norplant. Remember that?
Yes.
Birth control that was available for 5 years.
Yep.
They're behind that.
STD?
It's a fact. This is not a conspiracy theory.
Why is that a bad thing? I'm sorry.
But
I just I'm going to go opposite. Why is that a bad thing to vaccine people against disease?
Because you don't know what's in it. I just told right. you what happened in Africa. The things that they're using that you may not be aware of is it's not so much the vaccine. It's the preservatives that they're using, formaldehyde, mercury, thimerosal, things that are not tested, not necessarily they're not good for the human body. Basically,
they're not copacetic with the human body, and what they're using is certain chemicals, additives in there, and they're adding extra ones in there too as well. And the law that was passed there back, I think it was 1976 or something like that. Companies cannot be held responsible for vaccines and what they cause. And a vaccine, the human body, your body's different than mine, different from hers, different than that. Mm-hmm. One shot does not go in blanket search and fix everybody. It's just the same thing. Like, nobody likes a new Coke or the old
Diet Coke or something.
Some people like Pepsi, some people like 7-Up. And they don't all work together in the same thing.
Right, so, right. We're all different. But if there's no Coke, how do we gain anything?
Right. It's called natural immunization.
I'm not anti-vax. It's not right. What I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need total clarity. We need to know exactly what are in these things that we're being injected with.
Absolutely.
No hidden agenda. Nope. Because I am telling you, and my son was not one of them, but even with kids with autism, depending on what country you're in, they're secretly now awarding awards for vaccination injury. And like my two boys have not reacted well to vaccines at all. We have a letter that protects us from their doctor that says no further vaccinations for my kids. They've been vaccinated against what they need to be, and I certainly will research it, but you have to trust you got to realize somebody's injecting something into your body, and you've got to trust what they're telling you is in that injection. Like, this isn't something like you can take a pill and this is going to go away.
Right. I agree with you.
If one of us didn't want it, what are they going to do? Are they going to like lock us up or something?
That's why they're bringing in this whole part. This is all part of I did a show on Agenda 2030 and different things that they're going into. And this COVID-19, they're jump-started about three different items out of the 17 that they want to have done by 2030. And this was actually pretty crazy. And this actually sped things up. They only had 10 more years to get things done, what the UN and 178 countries have all agreed and signed off for. And this jump started three of them super fast. And it's crazy that this happened this way. And you wonder why government has control. It's the same thing, like I've talked about this before. Taxation was not a big thing here in North America until the war. There's taxation that happened beforehand, like kings and queens taxed the countryside and that. People left Europe to come over here to start a new life and to get away from
all that
oppressive rule, right? Now, oppressive rule just followed right along with it with capitalism. And now you're living in North America, which is a bigger communist country than Germany. It is.
Okay. What's communism versus socialism? And it's a big debate.
Well, they're both the same thing.
Let me stop you. We could get into all that.
Don't. Don't get them going.
I know. You. And it's not popular on the radio, actually. It's odd that like people that think they're really guiding their own lives, you know, through being sheep, continue to do this. I don't know, man, and I don't mean that as put down to you, but, you know, there are certain things that come out in the media that are guiding people to rebel and do this and that and go certain ways and all that, man. They all follow these Facebook things. And you know what? They all go back to the GOP, which is very interesting. Why do they do that?
Why do they do what?
Why do they follow these things? Like, everybody thinks they're independent, but they're really not. We're all just sheep. It doesn't matter.
There is no
Democrat or Republican. No, it doesn't. It does not. All the wealth is held by 1%? and I think you're an expert in this subject about the 1%. Yep. What is the deal with that?
This is why we can't have nice things.
That's right.
Well, this is the part is that this has been discussed on many shows, and I've discussed this before too, is that there's a certain area where when is enough enough and when
by
is
the
control,
way, happy birthday.
Yeah. When is enough enough and when is control enough? And when do you start doing things that control the rest of the population where you shouldn't even have control over?
Yeah, but they've been telling about us, they're usually about 10, 20 years ahead of themselves, whether it's a movie, it's a video, it's a book, whatever it is, they let you know what's coming.
Well, that's sort of a theory that's out there, but...
It's provable.
It shows up in the collective consciousness, Sophie. It shows up. You know, there are examples of this, countless examples of this. Dream Theater did a live record in New York back when 9/11 happened. Just before, like literally the week before 9/11 happened, they released their record and it has the Twin Towers on fire. They're like New York on fire because they were playing so well, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It happened.
It's been going on for a long time. I don't know. I did send
it's
you
guys. Collective consciousness
you and Chris and Kristen and Del, I sent you this video that's going around. I don't think it's going to be successful. I'm going to be watching what's going on in the UK June 22nd because it's quite a long video. It's this guy from South Africa that's a lawyer. He now is a landed immigrant over in the UK. And he's talking about serving Parliament because really government is supposed to be serving the people, which we're not finding is happening. It's supposed to have consent. He goes back to 1508 in the history of the legal system. It's a bit boring, but if you watch it, you understand it. But basically, it's been acts of treason that have been committed with what's been going on. And they tried to serve the High Court. They filmed it. They weren't allowed. They have a 30-day period, I guess, for the government to respond. But because they were refused by the police over in the UK to serve these documents, and even Alfred, I think it's Weber, who's an international lawyer, he's been a judge on international committees, he's involved with this. There's supposed to be some kind of huge uprising, peaceful apparently, over in the UK on June 22nd. I did send you guys a video. Watch it. It's quite interesting. I want to see what happens over there because I've been saying we're all identifying what the issues are here, but what are we doing about it collectively? Right?
I just want to ask you guys there in the States, because I've noticed this on a bunch of different websites and even off of different video platforms and stuff like that. Have you noticed, well, because of a lot of shutdowns and jobs and stuff like that, have you noticed more recruitment videos for the military?
I haven't personally, but I'm not very rarely, but I don't go on social media a lot, but I have noticed that they are on TV.
That's a good question. And no, I really haven't. I mean, they did this thing where they were going to fly the Thunderbirds over the troubled states. But again, it became a political issue and they flew the Blue Thunderbirds or whatever they are. The Blue Angels. Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome.
Over the red states. And we had our National Guard here. We're considered a blue state, even though we have a Republican governor, Charlie Baker, who is awesome, I think. We had to have our own National Guard, and they flew over.
They did that here.
That's what I'm saying about the politics. Like, it's so
divided,
thick and divided. I hate it. I really hate it. And I'm starting to reject everybody that defends it. I am really going to take another opinion soon. That's,
Yeah, but I think it was planned that way, Chris, from an outsider.
I'm done.
I think this was planned when your election, when Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were your choices. I literally said to Vidal, oh my God, is the world ending? And he actually explained it to me and it made a lot of sense. I think this was planned. It's going exactly the way they planned, right, Del?
Do explain, sir.
to create vision. You guys are like a 50-50 split from the outside looking in. I mean, not you guys. I mean, the collective you. There are people like fighting and like families splitting right down the middle over politics. Like people are on one side or the other.
We should be united.
That goes into that. I did a show back in, I think, December or something like that about Open Society Foundation, which is sponsored by George Soros, which Obama gave a lot of taxpayer money and supported that. I think it was like $9 million that he gave just before he left office. And it deals with division and with social problems. There is like he sponsored Black Lives Matter, Antifa,
is there other wrong division with Black
groups,
Lives Matter?
LGBTQ groups, to cause division and problems within the country. And he's
There's
been
nothing
noted
wrong with it. It's to turn people's heads away from the real issues. Am I right about that, Del?
Yeah, well, that's the whole problem about it, is just to cause division and to put people and business people from their society into places of power. They do this in all other smaller countries where they try and take control. And the whole thing is that this is what the question I said. Oligarchs and billionaires, how much is too much that they have control over stuff? Like you got Bill Gates making decisions with the World Health Organization, and they're basing all their logic off of him. This guy's a college dropout that who bought a program, DOS, from another person and succeeded it forward. Like there was no... Like he's smart in computers, but he was smart in business. Like, why is this guy who is not a doctor, who is not a scientist, he's a computer nerd that dropped out of college, that bought DOS, and is a billionaire, and he's making decisions for the world? Figure that one out. If you could explain that one to me where it makes sense, and then you look into his past and his family's past and his beliefs with eugenics and everything like that, you figure this one out. And his business in with medical disease control and stuff like that, computers to disease control. Now he's got computers in everybody's home. Figure this one out.
I don't know. I know Elon Musk is trying to.
I would just say that. I'm sorry. Eugenics was a thing that was very accepted in America in the early 1900s. And, you know, it was right up to World War II. And that was like a thing, you know. It was actually taught in colleges. And Chris and I love talking about our ugly American history because it is ugly. It sucks. It's terrible. And I don't agree with any of it.
They were doing eugenics right up to 1979 on Native Americans.
That's right. They were actually sterilizing all the women on the reservations. Maybe not every woman, but a lot of them up through the 70s.
It was
up
horrible.
Through the 70s, through our lifetimes. You're 50, bro. You know this, right? So in our lifetime, our government that is supposed to be so great and so, you know, Thanksgiving, was sterilizing Native American women into the 70s. That's eugenics. And it's so ugly. It's such an ugly topic.
We started eugenics before the Nazis did.
I don't know that it's all Bill Gates' fault. I kind of fault some of the conspiracy people because I don't think they're really looking at the whole picture.
But there's lots that you can look into it. And what the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is doing is they're testing over in Africa.
It's always Democrat. Mm-hmm. Like it's gay.
I heard that they were doing that.
If you can't see that what the testing of these certain billionaires are doing to third world countries and what they're doing and polluting their nothing's going to happen over there.
It's not
a real difference between like billionaire to billionaire. When you get in that elite 1% club, do you not think they're playing us?
Oh, for sure.
Just because somebody has $1 billion in their bank account doesn't automatically make them an F.
Right.
Right. And political views are just created because that's how they control us.
I hate to do this to you guys. We're having a great conversation, Chris. Sorry to do this, but we are almost out of time, guys.
We are.
We are. We're going to have time to let everybody know where to find your fabulous shows. And we're going to have to do a show, I guess, eh, Sarah, on this, all of us together and have a conversation.
Yeah, we need to do it again, like part two. Woo!
Thank you. Please.
Happy birthday, Del.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday, Del.
Happy 50. Thank you very much for playing
along.
Welcome
to the club. Ah, not playing.
You're welcome. And thank you for asking. This is cool.
We're not playing.
We have some interesting conversation, and we want to thank everybody. We want to thank Zach for understanding. Just so you guys know, Zach's one of our regular followers. He's a great supporter. He usually comes on, usually just Skype him in. We don't usually give out the phone number just because then we got to text Joe. Poor Joe, he's so busy. We don't expect him to sit in front of the phone waiting for the phone to ring. So we should just add him in. He was great. He was understanding. I said, with six of us already, I didn't think he'd be able to get much of a word in edgewise. So I want to thank you guys all. Do you guys maybe want to let everybody know where they can find your shows? Maybe we'll let the Del go first, being a birthday person, then Chris and Kristen. What do you think, Sarah?
I think that's great. Go, Del.
Okay, well, usually I'm on Mondays at 9 Eastern on here on UPRN, and it is the Delicious Recipe with your host, Del. We talk about conspiracies and media topics and whatever goes through, even some of the stuff that we were talking about here today. So check it out if you're interested.
Awesome. Chris?
We're Bigfoot and a Bunny on United Public Radio, and you can catch us every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Pacific. Oh. And, we have interesting guests. We talk paranormal. We do our thing. I think most of you guys probably already know it.
The mysterious, the unknown, and the paranormal is what we do.
Absolutely. And we love these guys. So
yes,
thank you for having us on the show.
We're good friends off the air as well. So Sarah's quiet tonight. That's Sarah, though. So you should just step back, let people talk. She's so awesome that way.
That's true. There is no wrong opinions. Everybody has an opinion, and you can't just go chastise people for having a different opinion from yourself. So
to each his own.
Absolutely.
Only in America.
I totally agree with you, Del. The only thing I would say is that, like, we're in a climate crisis, and we should be more united than we are.
Well, right. We're going to continue this conversation. Sarah, let's tell people where they can find you so we can get off on time here and let our person after us go on.
They can find me sitting in the dark with a tall glass of Pinot Grigio. That's where they can find me. Also on UPRN on Mondays and Tuesdays, respectively. Mondays at 3 p.m. Central Time with Infinite Inquisition, and Tuesdays with the lovely Laura Lee Potvin co-hosting. At 9 p.m. Central Time for Tripping the Void, which you are listening to right now live on UPRN.
And I guess I'll go last as I refill my wine glass. I usually don't drink on air, but it's a special Jen. Woohoo! As
I spilled on my cheers. How about a big happy birthday?
Well, hang on. I'll let people know where they can find me. We'll end it on a happy birthday. Well, I guess we're doing the happy birthday cheers. There you go, Del. Happy 50th. And lastly, I'll let you guys know, I'm Laura Lee Potvin from the Angel Rock. You can find me on Monday nights. I follow the Del. He forgot to tell you he is on 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern with his Delicious Recipe. And then I'm on with the Angel Rock from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central or 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern. Also, you can reach out to me on Facebook, which is www.facebook.com/TheAngelRock. I also want to mention I have two groups on Facebook. I have Paranormal University and the Angel Rock Tribe. One deals with all things paranormal. The other one, anything within the esoteric or spirituality field. And I want to thank all our good friends here. I want to thank my better half. We weren't able to do this on his actual birthday yesterday, and everybody was able to join him again tonight. So I'm so glad. Happy birthday, Del. Let's all toast. Yeah.
Yes. Happy birthday, Del.
Happy 50th.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So I guess, Sarah, I guess we'll say goodnight for tonight. Thank everybody for being here. Thanks, Zach, for being understanding. I said, with six of us on and we all like to talk, being radio hosts, he understands. I know he'll be back with us next Tuesday. He usually joins us via Skype. And I want to thank you all for listening if you're hearing on the replay. And please be sure to check everybody's shows out. They've all got great content. We love having you here. We send you all so much love. Have a wonderful morning, evening, or afternoon, wherever you may be. And we'll see you all next week.
Yes, absolutely. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for being on, guys.
Yep. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.